What's going on, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, peoples.
And we are back. We took a break last week. My wife was feeling a little under the weather, and so I wanted to kind of chill with her. And so we took a week off, but we are back. And a lot of stuff happened this week. A lot of stuff. And I'm going to go over a little bit where this, I guess, portion usually is how our week went and stuff like that. Instead, we're going to talk about a little bit of some gaming news, and then we're going to go right into the major things like Dave Chappelle's new stand-up, which is not really a stand-up. It's special, and in a good way, in a good way. But there was a couple of announcements that aren't as important, but I figure I would just kind of throw them out since they happened this past week and before since we were off. Obviously the PlayStation 5 was revealed. They didn't tell us a price, so screw Sony until they tell us a price. They showed us the new Miles game, Spider-Man Miles Morales, but they didn't. It took a while for them to clarify what it was. It's a standalone expansion, so like a smaller game from the main game, the Spider-Man game, but it's going to be standalone, so you don't have to own the original. And it's still a Miles game. It's not what we wanted. We were expecting, like, Miles would get his own full game, but it's still pretty cool. And for all of us, who are black, or Hispanic, who wanted to have a superhero that represents us in a video game and be the major, protagonist, we do have that. We also have the Avengers coming out with Miss Marvel. And she's gonna be the supposedly gonna be the main character. So we have those two games. I wish Sony would have kind of worked that out with an Insomniac to kind of the way they displayed it was like, yes, we finally get a Miles game. And it's like, well, actually, it's an expansion. The people are like, oh, it's DLC, and they're like, no, it's actually this. And it was confusion. We didn't know if it was coming for the PS4 or the PS5 or both. Yeah, Sony, get it together. Aside from that, Nintendo announced. They released their trailer for Paper Mario, and it was great. Showed us a little bit more about the unique combat style that's in this particular game coming to the Switch. They also announced today Pokemon Snap, which is something I'm excited for. I like taking pictures like all the time in real life. Pokemon is amazing. Like it's Pokemon. Like who doesn't like Pokemon, right? And now we have a new Pokemon Snap that's being made by Bandai Namco. Sorry. I don't know how I messed their name up.
Bandai
There you go. I don't know how I
Namco.
did that. It's been a long
Look,
week.
it has been a long week. My ADHD is strong, and my dyslexia game is like actually on fire right now. I'm
Oh
like,
my.
yo, I can't write anything. I can't. Look, we are literally living through trauma right now, and it is manifesting. Just saying.
Yes, it's I'm all flabbergasted.
Okay.
Yes, Bandai Namco, they are the ones who are developing it for Nintendo, which is a good thing because usually Nintendo is really close to the heart when it comes to their licenses, their IPs. There's only been a few developers that I like, for instance, Square Enix made the Mario RPG, and HAL, who was kind of a part of Nintendo at one point. They made the Smash Brothers games, and so for the most part, oh, and then the Pokemon, which is a weird hybrid between a company that owns the animation rights, a company that owns the game rights, and then Nintendo. It's a weird trifecta, but because they don't technically only own Pokemon, so yeah, it's cool that someone else is developing for them and allowing us to have this game because we wouldn't have gotten it. They would have went on with the normal Pokemon game, so that's pretty cool for Nintendo. Aside from that, there's a bunch of games that are announced this week. There's way too many to list. Go to our website, unitedfrontgaming.com, to check those out. One of the highlights was some of the ones that I mentioned, as well as Resident Evil Village, which is Resident Evil 8, was shown through the Sony reveal. That's also coming to Xbox Series X. The game looks awesome. Go ahead and check it out on the site. And yeah, to learn a little bit more about that. Beyond those things, we wanted to talk about Dave Chappelle. And Dave Chappelle has been in the news the past few years because of his stand-ups and how people view some of his comedy. But this was something that I think everyone can get on board with. The special is actually was done via Netflix, but it's not on Netflix. Netflix has a YouTube channel called Netflix is a Joke, where they host a, or they post a lot of their stand up. I don't think it's not the full stand ups though. It's usually just a snippet of the stand up that they post. So they have like Wanda Sykes up there, and Chris Tucker is up there, and all that good stuff. But Dave Chappelle released a full short show. So it's not on the Netflix streaming app. You actually have to go to Netflix. And I mean, sorry, YouTube, which is free. So go check it out. But it's called 8:46. And yeah, it
If
was
you guys didn't know, 8:46 is the amount of time that detective or officer Chauvin had his neck, I mean, had his knee in George Floyd's neck, just to remind everybody.
right. And so Dave Chappelle had a lot to say, and it was an impromptu thing. I mean, they planned it in a sense. There was people there; they were getting checked, you know, their temperature and whatnot. They wore a mask. They were seated with whoever you came with. You sat with them, and then you were 6 feet apart from everybody else. So they were making sure not to spread any corona and just kind of seeing how a stand-up can go outside. You know, because of what's going on. But he did the show in his hometown, in o Ohio, and he basically talked about what he's been thinking, what's been going on, and how he felt about, you know, the world. Because a lot of people were looking for celebrities to say stuff, and some have, been a little bit quiet. And that's we're gonna get into why they might have done that a little bit later, but we want to focus on Dave because he said a lot of cool stuff. What resonated mostly with me was, one, his anger, and two, the fact that he comes from people who has dealt with these type of things before. And what that tells me, or what that did for me, was it's a solidified how this is an ongoing thing. Like when people talk about, I had to actually post this on social media. People talk about, you know, slavery was a thing that happened a long time ago. Well, yes, but it still affects us. It's a generational thing in terms of, you know, for all the people who are like, you know, we, you know, pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. No white person can say that. I'm sorry. In terms, because you have, there's a certain privilege that you have in this country, but black people can definitely say that. Because when we, and I'm promise you, I'm going to get back to Dave Chappelle. I just want to make this point. We went from slavery to not owning anything and having to be sharecroppers, having to go back and work for the same racist people that put us in bondage. And then from there, we went through segregation, we went through redlining, we went through all these different laws and all these different changes. To the get to the point of where we are now. And in some aspect, that's great. We are actually at a point that we're much better, you know, we're much better than where we were before. On the flip side, and this is what Dave Chappelle echoes, is the fact that a lot of things haven't changed. Where we are still being lynched, and figuratively and literally, you know,
And literally.
we have the cops who are killing us, and it's being videotaped. And then we have, you know, there's been f at least five hangings as of late. You know, so it's there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of emotions, there's a lot going on here. And Dave Chappelle had a lot to say. And I was impressed. I was impressed. What were your thoughts?
Oh, I was impressed too. I mean, I enjoyed it because it seemed very impromptu.
Right.
And just even to kind of go just away from what he said, just the whole venue, just the idea of it, watching those cars go over a gravel street because they needed, all they did was get a park. You know, they built a space for this event to even go down and then were conscious enough because he cares about the people who care about him. You've got people in there who are like, okay, they're taking temperatures. They were literally Dave Chappelle like masks. They didn't say Dave
Right.
Chappelle, but they had like a C on them or whatever. And then just like you were saying about the seating and how all the seats were there, they had spray painted the ground with like red spray paint to mark the chairs. Just make sure that everybody could come and hear this man do his thing and also be protected. So it shows that he is socially conscious and his team is socially conscious and he cares about people. And then he gets on stage and instead of just coming out and doing, you know, his thing, his typical thing, he just spoke. It wasn't about jokes. He was just speaking. And only, right. what, like 2 minutes into it, he's screaming into the microphone. Saying, like, he's saying this man was on this man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds with the other cops with their hands in their pockets. And this man didn't think that he would incur the wrath of God. That's what's happening right now today. That's America right now. That a cop can murder someone knowing there's a video camera on him with his hand in his pocket, with his other cops hands in their pockets. Nobody's doing a damn thing. And he did not even for 1 second think, like, there was no fear, like, oh, snap. I might get arrested. I might get in trouble for this. I might get in trouble for murder. I might lose my job. I may not have any money coming in. I may be looked at as a murderer and from the whole globe. None of it. Or God could strike me down right now for murdering a man. None of those thoughts seemed to go across his face as he looked into the camera, not caring. And the fact opposite. That, yeah. And Dave Chappelle is speaking truth to that and just saying it out loud, and then moves on to give you a picture of what happens when cops tell on other cops. Has sits there and says, you know, basically he's got the audience. He's like, I'm sorry that I'm getting a little bit heavy, but let me tell you about something that happened some years ago about another cop witnessing another cop doing something bad, going through the proper channels. And here's a black cop witnessing a black male cop witnessing a white female cop doing something wrong, calls her out on it, goes through the proper channels to report the mistreatment of the person that was arrested or whatever that she was doing wrong. And then he gets disciplined. He loses his job for that. And afterwards, he was like, you know what? Fuck the system. And he basically goes on a rampage later, you know, because he's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, the anger and the emotion and everything that he brought to the table, even with his notebook, you know, he brought his notebook. I know he had an outline, you know, he had jokes in there and whatnot, but he got up there and it was like, he looked in it a couple times and then he's like, yeah, we're just going to talk. I'm just going to tell you some stuff, some things that you may not have known. Every point he made, even when he was like, oh, wait, this isn't that funny, is it?
Right.
And every point he made, I mean, when he called out Candace Owens, because I'm sorry, I've not liked Candace Owens for a very long time. And he called Candace Owens out and I said, shh, I'm standing right here like, you know, people laugh because I hate her. She's a terrible, terrible human being.
Yeah.
And called out Laura Ingraham too. Yo, I can't stand her. Tell me to shove it up and dribble. I will dribble over your face. Come at me, girl. Like,
so tell them how you feel.
Yes.
Facts.
Yes.
And you know what was also interesting? And not to, you know, I don't want to give Candace too much like time. But the idea that she's doing, and this is something that we talked about before, but where she is like bringing up someone's past. I don't know, like, for the people out there, have you seen Shaun of the Dead? It's a comedy, zombie-based comedy. Awesome movie. There's a part in the film where the two main characters are driving. They're trying to get from point A to B very quickly because obviously, you know, zombies everywhere. They're trying to get to one of the characters' parents' house, make sure they're okay. So they're driving really fast, and they hit someone with their car. So they get out of the car. They're freaking out a little bit because they're like, "Dang, did we just kill someone?" And they get out and they walk over, and then they realize it's a zombie, and immediately they go, "Oh, thank God!" And they get back in the car, and it's supposed to be comical, right? And it does. The joke hits really well. It's funny, and what Candace is saying is that a bystander is watching this happen. The police come and just run someone over. They get out of the car. They come over to the body. And the bystander is like, oh, gosh, let me look at their history. Oh, thank God. They stole candy when they were seven from a grocery store. Oh, thank God. I thought they were a saint or, you know, white. Thank goodness. Thank goodness that, you know, and then the police can get back in their car and leave. That's what they're basically doing.
Yeah.
It's Judge Dredd, you know, executioner.
Yep.
And to make you feel good, to make you feel good, to make you justify the kill, right?
Yeah.
You have to look up something elsewhere. You have to, there has to be something to make this right, because what they did was wrong. And so they look at the past and they go, you know what? He did a few crimes. He was in jail. You know, he abused someone at some point. Fine. No one's saying this person is a great person.
Right.
But you have to do that for your mind to go there. Means that you are not trying to seek justice.
No.
You're trying to get over. How can I fix this in my mind? Because someone did something horrible. And the way you fix it is to bring up something in the past to make you feel better. The more dirt you bring up on the person, the better you feel about the situation, about not caring about that person, right. About not holding that police officer accountable, all that. And that's a really fucked up way of thinking. It's really jacked up. And I really don't, like, especially Christians. I'm Christian.
Yeah.
But calling out my, you know, the brothers and sisters in Christ, if this is the way you feel, how do you feel about forgiveness? There's a lot of messed upness about this. Anywho, I just wanted to throw that aside because she does things that really irk me. And when he's talking about it, and I'm not going to use the words he uses, but I had no problem hearing him.
None.
I had no problem. I feel, and the same thing with, you know, because, you know, when she was, I forgot the other lady, but it was talking about LeBron, just shut up and dribble. She doesn't
Ingram.
Say that.
Laura
yeah.
Ingram.
She didn't say that about the football player who was
right.
like, you know, stand, you know, I don't want people to disrespect the flag. You didn't tell him just to pass the ball or whatever. Like, you're showing your true colors.
Yeah.
And it's about time that we kind of like we put these people in the boxes that they want to be placed in.
Yeah.
Like I can't respect like there was a point in time where Candace Owens would say something, and she would have there would be a valid point. She would follow it up with some BS. But before that, she would have a valid point about certain things. There was a summit that Revolt did that she was on a panel with Killer Mike, T.I. and a bunch of other people, and she had some points. I was like, okay. All right. And then she said some BS and it ruined the whole thing.
Yes.
I no longer want to think about this person. I don't want to see this person. I don't want to hear about this person anymore. I just wanted to throw that out there because I know when people see, if you haven't seen the Dave Chappelle special, the 8:46, some people are going to feel away because of how he's describing these people. But I want you to understand that there's a reason why he's expressing this. This isn't, I guess all intents and purposes, it's not a joke. It's not a joke.
Yeah.
But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
But yeah, I just want to get that out because it's. I know people are gonna like pip, you know, nitpick and all this other stuff about his language or whatever. And it's appropriate, is what I'm trying to say.
It is. I agree with you. I think it's appropriate. I think he's expressing himself, and I feel like we are at a time. First of all, we asked some people to be silent. We told some people in the last several weeks that they need to be silent. They need to sit back and they need to effing listen. All right. So whatever way that we feel we need to communicate to get our point across and to get our emotions across, you're going to hear it. And you're going to hear it in whatever goddamn way I choose. If I want to say F this after every other word, if every other word is the F word, you're going to F you. I mean, unless you effing turn me off, like if you're just listening to me online, but if I'm in front of your face and every other word, you have a choice to walk away. You can do that. I don't care. But I am going to express myself and my anger in the way that I see fit because I am tired of seeing Black bodies piled up. I am tired of this attack on our entire race. I'm tired of this attack on people of color. I'm tired of it. And you don't listen to me when I'm quiet. I've had somebody say, you know, I love the way you talk to me when you talk about racial disparity and this, that, and the other with me. I love how calm you are. And, you know, it's just so nice to be able to talk to you, you know, and I just wish more people would be like Martin Luther King. And as soon as and the funny thing is the conversation is going smoothly because I'm allowing it to go smoothly up until this point. Like, I don't like it. And then as soon as you start saying that to me, I'm already getting, my blood's already boiling, but I'm going to let it go. You're with your ugly microaggression, but then people try to bring MLK into it. And then that's when I want to punch them, but I don't, because I'm a nice girl. If I had punched somebody, I would have been in jail. I'm pretty dark skinned. So, you know, I'm going to go to jail for a longer period of time. Right. Anyway. So, but for me, I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going to express myself. I'm going to express myself in the way I see fit, because you said that I needed to be calm and quiet and this, that, and the other or whatever. And then I did that to you, but you still decided to be racist. You still continued on with your racist system. You still continued with your racist institutions. And so then I got loud and I'm like, you're not listening to me and I'm upset. Maybe if I show you how upset I am, you're going to listen. You didn't. You still continued on with your racist institutions and your systemic racism. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, you're not going to listen to me when I'm quiet. You're not going to listen to me when I am loud. Now let's see if you listen to me, because I'm going to set some shit on fire. All right. Are you listening now? And you still haven't changed anything. You just brought in more police.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what way you want to listen. In fact, I do know the way you want to listen. You just don't want me to do anything. You want me to shut up and dribble. You want me to shut up and put my head down and keep me at my busy work. Right. And that's not what we're about right now. Nobody is about, we're fed up. And mind you, like I said, on our last cast, I'm fed up and I'm tired and I'm not really like, yes, I was being vocal with my Instagram and posting things, but I'm tired again. And again, I'm not new to this. You know, our whole lives have been a protest and we've always been speaking up on this kind of stuff, but some people are just jumping on board as right. if it's new. Like some people are just coming out and saying, we stand with the Black Lives Matter movement. So where were you when Black Lives Matter was doing all kinds of stuff in 2014 and being like, stand with us? You weren't there and you didn't believe us. And now you have places like Sephora who are like, oh yeah, we're going to donate 15% of our shelf space. And I'm like, where were you? Where were you before? Where were you? Why weren't you guys pushing the hell out of Pat McGrath? You know, like, you needed to be there for us a long time ago. You're saying that you want to be there for us now, but now I feel like you're only doing it because Black people have finally, for real, like this time, because it's so much attention, you're scared. These companies, these corporations are really scared that the Black dollar really will pull away from them. Why? Because we've been setting up an infrastructure for a while now, at least 2 decades of Black-owned businesses. There are Black-owned businesses everywhere, and we have been slowly diverting our dollars, not everybody, but now it's at a head. It's like, wait a minute, everybody just divert your dollars. These companies are scared to lose money, and so now they're speaking out.
And none of
it's always been about money. And so I just feel like the fact that Dave Chappelle got up on there and he did not care, and he spoke his truth, and he spoke in the language that he chose to speak. He used some vulgar words. I don't care. I will call her this, that, and the other. He used the C word. I don't care. I use that stuff in my daily language. Because if that's how I feel, then I'm going to say it. And I definitely feel that way about Candace Owens and Laura Ingraham. Because they're bad people, like, and I've had those situations. I remember hearing her speak years ago. And I'm like, why does she talk like this? Like, she will say something that sounds intelligent. Trevor Noah said it. He was like, she is so articulate. Dave Chappelle said that. But Trevor Noah actually said it. He said the same thing. But I love the way Dave Chappelle says she's so articulate that she can articulate how dumb she is so well.
Yeah. like really, 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 really well.
Really well. That's a skill.
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying about, you know, like, where were you? It's interesting how Dave Chappelle talks about one night he was pulled over by a policeman and, you know, the person kind of like, you know, let him go or let him off or whatever the case. But then like a few days later, end up killing someone. And that became big news.
Right.
And he was like, I shouldn't have to be Dave Chappelle to survive, you know, driving home. I shouldn't have to be famous. Like, cause the cop was like, I know who you are. You're Dave Chappelle. So like, he was like, you know, I shouldn't have to be rich and famous just to make it home. And it's like, it's in that sense, it's terrifying because a lot of us aren't Dave Chappelle.
Right.
But even outside of that, it's like he was initially, you know, they were talking about how he was initially pulled over, how initially profiled because he was Black. And how it's going on year after year, talking about his grandfather and et cetera, et cetera. And because a lot of people love to be like, again, not even just slavery, but all the stuff that we've been through where, you know, like you should get over it. It's over now. We see people, it's hilarious. We see people crying about statues being torn down, and I'm like, really? That like it's interesting also noting when like we post something like the Dave Chappelle stand up, or we post something and people say nothing. I hope they're listening, but typically post nothing. But as soon as like something looks bad on our end, they post all over it. Like a police
Right.
officer, the police officer who was sitting in line and had a total meltdown, waiting for like a sandwich. She was in a drive-thru waiting for a sandwich, and she got afraid, started recording herself saying that, oh, they must be poisoning it because I'm a police officer and all this foolishness. And it was like, really? You broke down in the
Yeah.
line. Let me get this straight. You broke down while waiting in the drive-through for like 10 extra
Right.
minutes and recorded yourself and started crying. This is a police officer, someone who's sworn to protect. You can't handle that little bit of pressure. You have you and I don't condone this, but you would kill yourself if you were black. There's no way. There's no way you are crumbling. And then so I believe them sometimes when they say they're afraid. They pull up on someone and they're afraid because they're black. It's like you can't handle your McMuffin was a little late.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's
Proof.
like you know what I mean? It's like it's frustrating having to have this conversation over and over. It's frustrating. And what I meant, the reason I brought that up was because that was what was posted, right? And that's what people cared about. Like, oh, look at this cop, being harassed or whatever. And it's like, well, you didn't post like all the other police officers when they were like shoving people in the streets, and the guy who was pushed down, his head was cracked open, and he was in the hospital, the older white man. You didn't
Yeah.
post about the police officers shooting rubber bullets and like busting people open, and a reporter losing her eye, and
Right.
you know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't post none of that stuff. It's telling. It's telling
Yeah.
who our allies are and what they feel and what they think. This also goes to what Dave Chappelle was saying, like, no one wanted to hear a celebrity talk.
Right.
Actually, we do. And I get it in the sense of like, maybe you're not the right person. Maybe you don't know how to articulate certain things. Maybe you aren't a leader and you don't want to be put in that position. But just to be like, you know what? Something is wrong. At the basic level, you can't promote, want us to buy, want us to rally behind you when something is wrong. And then when all 50 states were protesting, and then other countries were protesting on our behalf, and you say nothing. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. So yeah, I do want Dave Chappelle. I wanted Dave Chappelle to say something. I want everyone to say something. Tell me how you feel. Let me know that regardless of how much money you make, we are not alone in this.
Yeah. And
And
I understand what he meant.
right,
I do.
exactly.
I know you understand what he meant too. And just the fact that he was like, I don't have to, like, he's like, this isn't about, because his words were, the streets are talking. It's not about how celebrities feel. It's the streets are talking. The streets are already telling you how we feel. Those people who are out in the streets protesting are the streets. Those are people. Those are all of the people, the million people who have protested in the last 3 weeks are the streets. And he is, I get what he's saying. He's like, you don't need me and another celebrity to come out and say it. Like, everybody is talking. America is literally talking. He's like, me as Dave Chappelle saying something is not what got Sephora to take 15% of their shelf space and dedicate it to black brands.
Right.
Me, Dave Chappelle talking is not what got Amazon to say, oh, we stand with Black Lives Matter. It's like, no, it has nothing to do with me. The streets did that. And he's like, I think he's also like, I'm not trying to take credit for pushing the movement when it was the streets. It wasn't me. It's not me. It doesn't need to be me. It's American people. This is your power and use it. But I also understand what you're saying. You want the people who are famous and have the platform to say it because they have the power. They have the power to sway things and to get it out there. You and me talking right now are going to only reach so many people, but if Dave Chappelle speaks, he's going to reach millions of people like he did just with this little Netflix drop. I mean, this YouTube drop. Like, it just came out. He just redid this on the 6th. And they dropped it, and now everybody is talking about it. Like, he has the power, but I understand what he means about saying, like, you don't need me to say, and he's not just saying you don't need me to us. He was saying that to other famous people. If Don Lemon is going to call out celebrities and say, hey, I need you to speak, he literally, Dave Chappelle is telling, famous people, you don't need to hear me talk. Listen, the streets are screaming. Who right. the hell needs another famous talking person when America is literally rising up in every state? The whole world is screaming. You don't need me.
Yeah, who wants to hear what Ja Rule thinks?
That was the best line. Honestly, I love seriously, when he said, who wouldn't hear what Ja Rule speaks? I said, you are a genius. How is awesome. Everybody going to come for Ja Rule? Ja Rule will never, ever have any cred ever.
It's an awesome callback. So moving on, we don't want to stay on it too long. I think everyone should check it out.
Yeah, please.
He had a lot
do.
To say, and a lot of it is echoed in how we feel. And, you know, a lot of thoughts. There's a lot
barking.
Of thoughts. Yeah, exactly.
You're being really vocal.
Yeah, it's a lot, and it's a short. It's 27 minutes, and a lot of that was them kind of like setting up. You get to see the setup, which is also part of the show, and so showing that he's aware, he understands what's going on, mm-hmm. and he wants to, you know, say something, and it's a good thing to hear, I think, because you can do so privately at your own leisure. And it's not someone preaching to you. You don't have to respond. You don't have to say anything. You could just mm-hmm. listen and see how he feels, see his emotion, and know that, you know, if you say you care about someone who looks like us, then, you know, it's you can't just be silent. Like you might not know what to do, and, you know, we can help you along those lines, but you don't want to be silent. Just listen to what he has to say and, like, meditate on that a little bit. Beyond that, though, moving on. So we went from, you know, there's a Netflix. We're going over to the
manga side.
The manga side of things. And to talk about a manga and a show that we liked, that we talked mm-hmm. about, like, early on, actually.
Yeah, and, back in, like, February or March or something.
Right. And so I'm actually let you take it away, because you've been actually reading up on it.
Right. So no, I don't want to give any spoilers, but I'm going to have to just a little bit in this.
Yeah.
The manga and the show we're speaking of is called The Promised Neverland, which we spoke about earlier. So hopefully you guys have had the chance to watch it. It is on Hulu, I believe, or Netflix, one or the other. I can't remember right now. And it's only 13 episodes, so you can go ahead and watch it. The manga started in 2016. So it just wrapped. It's finished. The last issue, I think, actually came out on the 7th of this month. And so I read it. I read all of it. Thanks to you, Scanlators out there. You guys are awesome. And we brought up in one of our casts in February, it was Black History Month, and we talked a lot about different things. So one topic was Black representation in gaming, anime, manga, entertainment in general. And it's important for us to feel represented, even though sometimes we can accept where we're not represented. Like, I'm not asking to be represented in Japanese culture. I'm actually not asking for that, and I don't really think anybody is. But when we are represented, we want a proper representation, because if, let's just say, for example, if I'm the type of person who, let's say I'm the breadwinner for my family and I make breakfast, and let's just say I never make eggs. No one ever eats eggs in my house. And then, but they all love them. Like, I don't make them, but everyone in the house loves eggs. They love, let's just say everyone loves Eggs Benedict. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right.
And let's just say someone else in my household knows how to make them amazingly. And then I don't do it. I never do. I'm not saying that it's okay for me to mess up the first time or not, right? But I'm just saying that if it's something that I never do and I'm going to give my shot at it, and there are a million recipes and instructions and stuff online, if I am going to actually make it with the intention of serving it to other people, I should do my due diligence to make it as properly as possible. Right. Okay. And I'm not saying this in like, oh, you know, it's your first time, you can mess up. That's not okay when you are doing something where the whole world is going to see it, and where, let's just say, for example, it's not that everybody in my house has the best eggs Benedict and they're like, oh yeah, this is great. It's just, you have the tools to do a good job at something. Please make sure that you do it correctly, especially if serving eggs Benedict to people who are like, hey, like, is actually offensive. Let's just say it's a religion. Okay. Now, I'm sorry. I was just taking a detour and trying to be a little bit funny, but what I am saying is, and I'm going to bring in some Tolkien also on that. I don't expect, like I said, I don't expect to be represented in Japanese culture. It's not that there's not Black people living in Japan, because that would be dumb to say. Yeah, of course. What I'm saying is, I don't expect it. I'm not looking for it. But if I am, if I feel as though I am being represented, or there are Black people being represented in this show, I don't want you to do us dirty, because it's not right.
Right.
It's not fair. That's just not okay. And I think any culture should be able to say that. So when we noticed that Sister Krone was a Black woman, and the way she was drawn was a bigger woman. She was clearly strong. She ran super fast. Her hair was, for lack of better words, nappy. She had really big, full lips, a big nose. And it was just like, okay, I'm hoping that there's an explanation for this. You said the same thing, Kenny, you know, like, right. We're hoping there's a reason as to why she looks this way. And that's it. Like, okay, we're going to let it slide. The fact that she has that little baby doll that she rips to pieces, that's Black. Also, it's obvious that the author and illustrator, because they're two different people, apparently, chose to make this character Black for whatever reason. So I was just hoping that by continuing on, by reading the manga, I would figure that out. And I'm just going to tell you right now that I feel like there was absolutely no reason as to why this character was created in this manner, except to fit maybe a stereotype or what. I don't know. You should be able to figure out why characters are the way they are in literature, in artwork. But when it comes to something like this, it felt kind of like an egregious slap to the face. It just wasn't right. After reading the entire series, I did not get my answer, except that the artist chose to choose this scary character. She is definitely scary. The character itself is scary. Let's forget the fact that she's Black and she's big and imposing with nappy hair and big lips. Let's forget that. The character herself, Sister Krone, is supposed to scare the children. That's part of her job, is to keep an eye on them and to make them believe that she loves them. And she's also intimidating them to give her information. Right. That is her character. It is her role. Why she had to be Black and honestly crazy and scary looking, it doesn't make sense to me. And it just made me feel that the author and the artist, that's their own internal realization.
Right.
Oh, you know what? If we make the character Black and looks like that would scare me. So yeah, let me put it in there. Because there is no true explanation throughout the story as to, like, you can make any character Black if that's what you want to do. The character could have been white. There's a whole crap ton of white characters in that story. It's not like anybody in the story is obviously Japanese or Asian or whatnot. I mean, honestly, it's kind of like a cultural blend, majority white characters, I would feel, though. But that just, I just, like, why? And then to add on to that confusion, as you read, there's a little Black girl and she is adorable. She is so adorable. And the other characters love her. She's just a cute little child. Mind you, all the children are pretty adorable and lovable. And then you come to find out that her name is Jemima. I was already having a problem with Sister Crone. And to be fair, I haven't seen it written in katakana yet. If you watch the show and you watch it in Japanese, in the original Japanese, she is called Shista Crone. Shista Crone. That's what she's saying. If it's written in katakana the way I believe it's written, it will actually say Kuro Ne, not Crone, like not just K-R-O-N-E. It would be Kuro, which means black, and Ne, which means sister. So her name is black.
Right.
And I didn't, like I said, I haven't seen her name written in katakana, or even if it could have been written in actual kanji, like the kanji for black and then the kanji for sister. I don't know. But to me, with the little Japanese that I know, I was offended because there was no redemption for her ever. And there was no explanation as to why she looked the way she looked. And then when you add the little character, the girl Jemima, to it, it was like, are you just blatantly fucking racist?
A little bit.
Why? And so I'm sitting there, why? Like, just why? You named her Jemima. And then I started thinking more, and I was like, okay, as you know, the mangas are typically in black and white. There's only a few color spreads. And the characters that are darker skin, there's like five. There's a darker skin little boy that you know from the show. His name is Phil, and Phil's darker skin, but he has blue eyes. I couldn't tell you, you know, what his ethnicity is supposed to be. He's a sweet little character. He does his jobs. He's super smart, whatever. Dawn, on the other hand, is one of the older children, like 10 years old, and he has darker skin. I don't know if he is supposed to be black, but he is a person of color, clearly. And then Dawn is, his character is not, he's like not that smart. He's not the brightest. And he's the first character to throw blows. He's the first character to actually want to get into a fight with one of his other siblings. And I was like, so why is the kid who is a person of color, why is he the violent one? I just noticed there was like, I think there's a total of maybe five characters who are darker skin. And you have the two who are female who are just wronged. You have Kurone, who is like, okay, obviously I've already mentioned little Jemima, who is named Jemima, and then you have Dawn, who gets violent, and then you have this other guy later on in the show, in the manga, I think his name is Vincent, and he's like trying to kill people. It never got better. If you're asking about the representation of people of color, I did not feel that representation was truly there, and it was positive. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you want to include people of color in your story, why do they have to be the bad ones?
No, it's not even, you know, because you're like, you know, I don't know. And the idea is that, the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt for me was, you know what? We are athletic. We are, you know, we do have nappy hair. We do have, you know, we do have full lips. We do have big noses sometimes. Seeing her, Crone first, it was like, okay, eventually I'm going to see more black people. Eventually I'm going to see, and I think they kind of got me a little bit when they go into her background, how she was the smartest of her class and all this other stuff. So like there was some positive attributes that they were adding as well. And I'm like, you know what? Some of these stereotypes do come from a weird place. Mm-hmm. It's similar to when I see any type of fiction that have like a black, you know, I guess like gangbanger or whatever. To me, it's like, do you also have good black people? Do you have people who, you know, do you have a black lawyer? Do you have a black this, a black that? You know, like for instance, Insecure, there's a wide range of what black people are on that show.
Right.
From gay, straight, you know, hoodlum, not hoodlum, whatever. Right. And so any type of stereotypical thing that pops up, it's like, no, this is a thing that black people can relate to because we see the truth in it. So I was trying to give, you know, the benefit of the doubt there. And then when she ends up, you know, meeting her fate, and then I was like, okay, that's unfortunate. Maybe season two, we will see some more and we will, you know, I'll be able to make a better judgment. And looking back on it, I'm like, no, I should have been upset.
Yeah.
And from what you were telling me from the manga, I haven't read it, but
Right.
from what you were telling me, I'm like, no, you
Yeah, no.
can't. There's you. This is purposeful. This isn't. And you know, in terms of like, you know, Japan or whatever, there's things that they've had that were more racist that has been moved to the side, has been, you know, squished down. Like for instance, the new Dragon Ball Z Super, you don't see Mr. Popo as much, like nearly as much as you did before.
Yeah.
If there's a reason for that, this is not happenstance. You don't
Yeah.
see certain depictions of characters have gotten better over time. Someone around in that area recognizes that black people watch anime as well. They like
Right.
anime, they spend money. Maybe we shouldn't antagonize them or make them to be the brunt of the joke. There's
Yeah.
plenty of anime that shows us in a good light. We spoke about it,
Right.
from Bleach, you know, on that do a solid job. They do us a solid. So what are you doing? And the fact that people aren't, and maybe they are, I haven't checked online to see if people are, you know, calling out the show or calling out whatever. And I think it
Yeah,
could
I
be
think
because
that's
the
either.
benefit of the doubt in that sense. They're like me. But no, like
No.
I feel a way. And then, you know, you were telling me that they were greenlit for like a live action
Yeah, so it's
version.
happening. It's happening, and it's going to be on Amazon. It's Amazon Studios, and I forgot. I did forget the studio that they're working with. It might be Fox, it might be Searchlight. I can't remember. But that and it's going to be English. That's the opportunity. Amazon, I'm talking to you, Bezos. I'm talking to anyone working on the Amazon side. This is your opportunity. If you produce this show, if you assist them in making all of the characters the exact same, if you do this the way that they have it in the manga, screw you. You know better. Because the author and the artist clearly did something that they wanted to do on their own in their own ignorance. It is 2020. I mean, they did the start of this in 2016. You had the ability to read the room. You had the ability to read culture. You don't have to go on there and then and do something like this because just like you said, we both gave the character the benefit of the doubt because we hadn't seen more. And yes, we're both kicked ourselves because it's like we just never should have accepted that because when they showed her when she was a little girl and that she was smart and she was, you know, kind of basically like a workhorse in a way. And the trauma, because all of them go through trauma. It's not that she's not special. Yeah, she was special because she was extremely smart and talented and she was moving up the ranks like she was supposed to as a character. And as a little girl, the way that she was drawn as a little girl, again, it didn't bother me. She was young. She was a little girl, you know, with her hair. Like it was actually fine. But then she becomes this adult and then it clearly shows that she's like insane. I don't know why there wasn't more dialogue into that because it could have been fixed had they just given us it fuck it, never mind. No, it's just such a wrong, it's such a wrong depiction. And again, we almost could have let it go if Jemima hadn't showed up. But
Right.
it's so wrong. It's just wrong. And because it at the end of the day, like I said, it made me feel like the author and the artist that this is how they see black people. And they just went for it. And they're like, yeah, you know, did it, whatever. And I'm like, okay, well then screw you. But moving back to what you said, like, I mean, yeah, to what I had told you, yes, they are moving forward with the live action. And I'm just saying, y'all need to do better. They're gonna age the characters anyway, like they always do. I heard that there was already a Japanese live action. The English one is going to be a series, just like it should be. It should not just be a movie. There's a lot of content. I think you could probably get away with maybe a 2.5 hour movie, but and maybe make three movies, but I don't know if you can capture the audience. It's better to leave the let the cliffhangers be every 30 minutes or so because
Right.
it's kind of like Walking Dead. You know, like there's just the way that it kind of runs. I don't want to say like, oh, it just runs long like Walking Dead run on TV, but it's got some Walking Dead, Attack on Titan, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of stuff. And I'm looking forward to it because at the end of the day, the story has good bones. So I'm just pissed off at the depiction of these few characters because the story itself has good bones. But the other thing that just makes me so angry, and I'm literally just so angry because we are in the year 2020, and I'm like, you just keep freaking choosing to be racist and asinine because this is the same character, like the same author or the same artist chose to make the main character white and redheaded and green eyed. And she's basically a god, you know, everything is about her. She is the best person, has the best heart. She's so sweet. She wants everybody to escape together. She wants everybody to live happily. She's basically Anne of Green Gables. Okay. But as an author, as an artist, you okayed this perfect little white girl. She is screw Anna Green Gables, because Anna Green Gables always thought she was ugly. She's Shirley Temple. Okay? Like she's adorable, has a little antenna coming out of her hair, curly little hair, and her green eyes, and she's so perfect and cute. So yeah. Why was it okay for you to lift up your main white characters and have them like represented so well? And then when you chose, because nobody asked you to do this, when you chose to diversify and include people of color, you went that route. But I'm just asking, it is 2020 and you I'm holding people accountable. Explain yourself. Please explain yourself. I am asking because there's a lot of people who are asking the exact same question for Carolyn Tuesday. I know Carolyn Tuesday tried to be very diverse and open and they had a lot of black characters. They had gay characters, they had trans characters, but it was a slap in the face because it wasn't as though black characters were represented equally. And black characters on that show were actually represented as immigrants and poor and just trying to survive. Yeah. Now, yes, they did talk about violence on like basically authorities on black people in that one. And Carolyn Tuesday, yes, they actually spoke to the outrage that black people endure and immigrants is in, and I appreciated them for that, but they also missed the mark. It's almost like the person who created that was like, oh, you know what? I'm woke and I'm going to do this. And you know how we feel about the word woke, but like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to participate in this manner and I'm going to show people how I feel X, Y, and Z, dot, 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 dot. And then you missed the mark because when you had the opportunity to show trans characters, you made them violent. And then also said, oh, maybe you're violent because of the medication you take because of your transition. What the hell? Like, in what lore does that exist? And so it's just very frustrating, especially here we are in this time dealing with what we're dealing with, talking about systemic racism that people so conveniently don't believe in. But you have, it's all around the globe. And racism is not just being mean to somebody because of the color of their skin or da da da. It is a way to construct society so that a set of people is always oppressed. And if we are going to be continually represented in media in this manner, then people are going to continue to see us that way. So if you have the most popular shows in Japan or the most popular mangas or this, that, and the other, where we're continually being represented negatively, then what am I supposed to expect when I hop off a plane in Tokyo?
Right.
Am I going to be welcomed with open arms if this is, because the best way into a foreign culture is through art. And if this is the art that I'm constantly digesting, I am going to feel as though I am less than once I step off of that plane. And I'm not saying that maybe people on that side of the globe won't feel the same way coming here, but do your due diligence and do what's right and represent people properly. Don't just stick us in a box and like, come on, man, I'm over that shit.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the manga and like her, like Crone's picture, her depiction in the manga is even worse.
It's worse.
Like, it's good worse. Grief. Like there wouldn't have been any benefit of the doubt if I would have seen this. Like, cause I was introduced, you know, via the anime.
Right.
Yeah, I would have been like, what, why, yeah. what is going on? And, you know, there's, like I said, you know, there's, we have seen awesome depiction of black characters from,
Coulson.
you know, Canary and Hunter x Hunter, freaking, I mean, the character we were talking about in Bleach, Killer Bee from
Coulson is the best.
Natario. Yeah, like there's from Natario, Naruto, I can talk. There's a ton, and
Yeah.
we have the internet, and there's a lot. There's a lot that could be
Amazing.
done to fix this. And you know, I'm actually side-eyeing a lot of people who are watching or reading that aren't saying anything. Like,
Yeah.
you know, because it was recommended, which is crazy. It wasn't recommended to me personally, but I saw a review of the anime by a black person, which made me want to go check it out. And that wasn't mentioned. So it's like, dang, bro. Like, I don't know. Maybe he could have been, you know, benefit of doubting as well.
Right.
Maybe he was hoping it got better. Maybe season two, because that's what we're thinking. Season two, we actually have more representation. It's
Yeah.
gonna be good. There's gonna be, you know, some good black people, bad black people, whatever the case. And from what you're telling me, it gets worse. And I'm just like, and also Jemima, like, since we're on that name,
Yeah.
how I can't understand how people are upset. You know what? Maybe I can, because maybe you just don't know any better. So let me explain. The people
Yeah,
who are
let's talk about
upset, all you people who are upset about Quaker Oats changing the Jemima line of syrup and, you know, Uncle Ben and all that stuff. I need you to, I'm not going to go into blackface, what it is. I've actually did that on episode 3 of the cast,
Right.
when we were talking about Amos and Andy. So go listen to that. But Jemima is a mammy stereotype.
Yep.
And what's crazy about this is that it was during the minstrel shows, they were, because black people were, or black women were seen as the caregivers, the people who babysat, who cooked, who cleaned. They were like the maids. And this was a position that they had during slavery. They were considered one of the, they weren't like the house Negro like we would think. It was different from that. And they cook and clean and all this other stuff for the slave's master's children. Out of that came a character from the minstrel show, Mammy, who was typically played by a white person who had blackface. And they made her dumb, they gave her the big red lips, and et cetera, et cetera. So then when you go and you look at the old Aunt Jemima pancake syrup, whatever, she has the stereotypical everything. Like everything is freaking mammy. And they even have quotes. There's things that you are so bad that you can't even put them on Facebook because you'll get flagged if you were to do that. They have her speaking in broken English and all this other stuff, right? So from there, Quaker Oats, over the years have improved her look. And what I mean by that is she was still always racist, but they toned down the lips, they toned down the nose, they changed what she was wearing. They took out most of her clothing and just have her face. Like they've done a lot because they recognize that it was freaking racist. And now it's gotten to the point because, like you said, companies are afraid. They're like, you know what? We're doing away with it completely. And people are losing their minds. And I'm like, all right, maybe you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know. When people tell you, though, what do you then? Do you still hold it up as something great? It's literally one of the black we it's literally one of the things that has that still has blackface on it. That isn't a documentary, that isn't a, you know, piece of history. It's like you can go and get it on the shelves. How are you, mind you, and this is again with the side eye, these are the same people who say nothing about everything else that's way more important. Like you get bent out of shape over the dumbest things, which makes me feel like, you know what, you knew it was racist,
Yep, you did.
and you either you were super super ignorant, or you knew that it was racist and you were okay with it because of tradition, because it's something from your childhood, because of whatever the case may be. And it's just wrong. It's 100% wrong. Quakers should have done it a long time ago, and they don't get a pass either because they knew it was racist because they kept changing it over the years. Quaker Oats as a company purchased the Aunt Jemima Mills company back in 1926, fam, and has been changing it to improve the image since then.
Yep.
Like, what? And they introduced, look, it's bad. Okay, it's really, really bad. And this is not something you want to, this is not a hill you want to die on, because you'll be dying alone. You look foolish. Thanks. You need to get up, brush yourself off, go look in the mirror, and figure out what's wrong with your life. If this is what's having you into a, someone said America is broken because Aunt Jemima is going away. Are you high? Like,
they're clearly not, because if they were high on the good stuff, they would be like, yeah, man, that's all right. That's all right. That's right. I'm vegan now.
Like she's not my aunt, man. Like, it's, you know, right. Like, it's just so bad. Like, so, so bad. It's the same thing with the people who are upset, like, you know, Looney Tunes is like, we're not gonna have guns anymore. In the new Looney Tunes show that's coming on HBO, and they're like, you know, why are you changing our stuff? Why are you changing our stuff? And then if you go back, you don't have to go back far. You go back to episodes with Bugs Bunny, with Yosemite Sam. Yosemite Sam is dressed up as a soldier from the South, who is protecting the Dixie line, who doesn't want a Yankee to come over. And in order to fool Yosemite Sam, Bugs Bunny dresses up as a black person in black, blackface version of a black person, and. Talks about like, oh, master, I'm sorry, you know, I'm coming back to whatever, and Yosemite Sam lets him in, like, bad. So there's been things are changing for the better, and I still don't like, I'm still not 100% rocking with Quaker Oats, because again, you knew it was racist. Same thing with Warner Brothers, but they're improving. You know, the people who are in charge are stepping down. New people are coming up, and they're like, you know what? This product line, all this is horrible. Let's go ahead and change that. And I know change takes time. There's people, you know, they're, especially if they're publicly held companies where you have to, you know, appease the board, if you will. You're not going to get everybody on your side, because a lot of them are still stuck in their old ways, whatever. So I know it takes a little while, and that's the only reason I'm giving any type of credit to Quaker Oats. But honestly. Honestly, no one should be named Jemima.
No.
No one should look like black. Do we have red lips? Have you seen anybody outside of someone wearing makeup? We don't walk around looking like clowns, fam. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Come on. Like,
where did you get this? Like, we know where you got it. We know where you got it. You want to sit there and put that in your shit? You're going to sit there and put that in your anime. And I'm like, nah, yo, that's literally going to be a slow rising middle finger to you. And man, it just makes me angry, because I want to promote, like, I've told people that I've read this story because the story is good, like, in and of itself, outside of some of the, you know, like, because it's children, like, you know how sometimes children's stories are way too idealistic, like, they need to be prettier. What I'll give to Attack on Titan is that it never gets idealistic. It's always gritty. Yeah, I've read all the manga, you know, until this point, and it's still gritty. People are still dying. People are still getting eaten. People are still getting murdered. People are still getting killed. Like, their group gets smaller every issue. But whereas, you know, this is like, it has that kiddie idealism, because, you know, everybody's, the oldest kids are 11 when they run, you know, they're 11 years old, almost to their 12th birthdays. And so there's this childlike idealism that has this like happy feeling to it as the story goes on. But it's like, because it is like a post-apocalyptic type thing, it's like, I like those stories because they're possible. I want to recommend it. I want to say it, but I'm telling you, after I told you that day, after I texted you and said, there's a little black girl on here named Jemima, and you were like, oh no, I told four other people. They all said the exact same thing. Remember when you texted me back? They verbalized that exact text. Yeah. And I laughed, because I was like, see, stop trying to fool us. Don't. They weren't even hiding their stupid story at this point. But come on, Aunt Jemima, Quaker Oats. You changed her face so many times over the years. You knew it was racist. You just wanted to see how far you could get away with it. We used to talk about that in college. Because I never knew, I actually never paid attention. And honestly, even though we had Aunt Jemima stuff, like, That was, it wasn't just in college. I'm sorry. It was a joke. It started in middle school. I remember some of my my classmates would be like, "Hey, it's Aunt Jemima," and it was always known. It was known. Like, and you would say it, like, especially somebody had a scarf on your head looking over here like, "Aunt Jemima, racist." It was like, we've known our whole lives. We've known, and we have to deal with this. We have to deal with this every day. I am going to the grocery aisle. I'm in the frozen aisle, and we have to deal with this every effing day. And people want to sit there and say racism doesn't exist, or people want to be like, "Why are you so angry? Why are you like this? Da-da-da-da-da. Nobody's being racist to you. Oh, so you're not being racist to me, but the corporations are. If I'm walking down the aisles and I'm seeing racist depictions of Black people on a daily basis, and you want to question me as to why I'm mad? James Baldwin, do I have to quote him again? To be a Negro in this country and not be in a rage every day. Come on.
I just don't understand. Like you said, it was known. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a big surprise. It wasn't like, "Oh, this is a racist thing." Yeah, it was. And honestly, it comes down to the same thing when they say you have to protest this way versus this way. You have to make sure it's this and that. Misquoting Martin Luther King. It's like, you don't want to rock the boat for your life. Like, you don't want to think that, "Oh, I'm eating something or I'm purchasing something that might be terrible. I know it is. But I just, you know, just keep it quiet. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to feel anything. You know, just give me what I want. You go cry over there. Protest where I can't see or hear. Mm-hmm. Don't mess, you know, don't, you know, prevent me from doing whatever. Don't get in my face with it. You know, just suffer. Basically suffer in silence so I can have my, you know, overrated pancakes." Like, that's
right.
And it's like, come on. Like, so many people are getting let go, blocked, unfollowed, unfriended, all because of this foolishness. Like, it's not worth my time and my thoughts. And I just wanted to bring that up because it was such a interesting to note that the race, the Aunt Jemima, Mammy, whatever, has, you know, gone across the ocean and is in Japan now. Like, dude.
Yeah. Made every way, like, you basically proved right then and there when you called the Black girl Jemima, you just showed it. And you know what's funny? Watch the author or the artist be like, "Oh no, like, I actually drew this girl in because my friend's daughter's name, she looked like, this is actually a depiction of my friend's daughter. Her name is Jemima." And I'm just gonna look at her and be like, like, I hope you guys can hear my eyelashes blinking as I'm talking. Like, we're like, "I don't care. So you're going to say it's a personal story. All right. It says you wanted to depict your not niece's face and name in this story. Yeah, you should have thought better about that." No.
Yeah. I feel away.
I feel so many ways.
One thing I found out as we're looking into this was that they aren't casting. Sister Crone isn't going to be a Black character or a Black actress. She's going to be, I believe it's, I don't want to screw up the person's name. So it's Watanabe Naomi, I think is how you pronounce that. But
yeah, Watanabe.
Yeah, she was cast back in February. And, apparently, people were upset because they're like, "You're getting rid of a Black character." But then it's mixed. Like, people are like, "You know what? I'm upset that we couldn't have a Black person represented in this." But then on the flip side, it's like the racist imagery from the manga is there. And so I guess it's better because she's not Black. But then it's like, "But we could have had a Black." It goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of mixed. And I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I would rather that than we continue with, you know, the stuff that we're talking about. Like, just change it then. Just change it completely. I'm fine with that.
And this is the thing. This is why I felt like it was so important to to talk about the English version, because like if they're going to do the English version, then, and more than likely, if you do an English version, then you have the ability to cast multiculturally. Whereas I can understand in Japan, if you don't have the ability to cast multiculturally because of the lack of actors that speak Japanese, like the lack of multicultural actors speaking Japanese in Japan. I don't know those numbers, but I can safely assume that the United States would have more multicultural people speaking English versus in Japan, multicultural people speaking Japanese, which is why Attack on Titan was properly so cast with Japanese actors. You know how the internet went crazy and people were like, oh my God, Armin should be white and all those idiots. And it was like, why would a Japanese studio spend all this money to go and hire German people, Europeans or whatnot, to play in these roles and then have to do a really, really hard job of translations? Like, this is not a Quentin Tarantino movie. Like, Sukiyaki Western Django was awesome, but the entire cast of Japanese people, there was only like two actors who actually spoke English. And I hope that I'm not saying that wrong, but I watched the had several actors who actually were like, you know, no, barely anybody speaks English except these few actors. So, and the entire movie is done in English. So, and not that that can't be accomplished. That's not the problem here. That's amazing. That work is amazing, to actually have an entire majority cast that does not speak English actually do the movie in English. That's amazing. That's great. I loved that movie. It was awesome. Okay. But when people were going flipping out on Attack on Titan, white people, mind you, flipping out on Attack on Titan and being like, oh, this is terrible. It should have white actors. And it's like, well, again, answer me this. Why would a Japanese studio do that? Why would they do that? Like, that's a lot of money. If you don't have the amount of actors that can play these roles that are already situated here that speak Japanese and the movie is going to be filmed in Japanese, then that's extremely difficult to go and seek those actors out. Now, if an American studio did it or a European studio did it that had the ability to have a multicultural cast or majority white cast, like there's only a few characters in Attack on Titan, you've got until you get to the end when you see more. But anyway, for the majority of the entire story, where you have basically one girl who's one Japanese woman who is killed very early, and then you have a girl who's half Japanese, half white, and an entire cast of white people until you get closer to the end where you meet actually some people from some other cultures. But it's still very, very small. So if the majority of your cast is supposed to be white and speaking whatever language you choose, German, English, whatever, I think that would be easier for a European or an English studio, or American studio to do. So
I get that, especially with Corona, right? Because if you were to get someone who maybe, you know, a black actress to fly who does speak Japanese fluently, mm-hmm. And to get her flown in for the role might be harder to do during the current situations. I will say, though, that there are like we said before, there are black people living there who are born there, especially when it comes to people who are stationed there from the U.S. Uh-huh. Just like I was stationed in Germany for a ton of time. So it's possible. But I think personally, it's more because of the idea that this is going to be shown all over, and mm-hmm. that there's no way you can kind of get slide by when it comes to the manga, right? Because the amount of people who read it on this side of the planet isn't as big. But when you have something that's live action, when people are going to see it, this has the potential to go, all over with Amazon, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure someone at Amazon even is like, because this was back in February? Yeah, this might not go over too well. And was like, you should probably pick someone else. I think it's more so over their depiction. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jemima's name is changed.
I think it will be. That's my personal thing. If if we're worried about the, because I'm sure, is it going to be two? Because when I looked it up online, I thought that there, it was two different versions, that there's going to be a Japanese version and there's going to be an English version.
Oh, maybe.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought, that I actually saw the Amazon version. I'm not sure when it's supposed to come out, but Amazon is supposed to be signed on to doing it, but it said English. And so I already knew that there was going to be a Japanese version that was cast. That I knew that, but I thought that there. Oh, okay. Well, let me see. And I know that the Japanese cast is going to be 8. So instead of it being a bunch of 11-year-old leads, I know that they're making them older because that's the easiest way to do it.
Right.
So maybe we can add on that later. We'll get more proper information, but it seemed as though, from what I read, that there were two. If it's going to be an English version, then they bet there's, oh God, because if they don't fix this in the English version, but Amazon, you might have to forget your like anime crossovers.
I mean, and they're already in hot water, so yeah, that would be bad.
So Japanese version can have as many Japanese, like the Japanese version. I would assume, honestly, I would just assume that they would do the entire cast Japanese. That, not saying that there's not multicultural actors, I'm just saying it just makes more sense because that's been the way that the movies typically go.
Right.
Like, how many movies can you say that you've seen that are live action movies that are done in Japanese studios that I can't name any where they haven't just decided to make the whole cast Japanese.
Right.
That's normal. At least that's normal for me. Like, and I understand it.
I think it's because of the partnership with Amazon makes it a little, you know, you're partnering with, because like, even like, for instance, The Ring, when we had the American version, it still had the original writers and director, but they cast, you know, they cast different people.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's, you know, it's possible, but yeah, I hope things will improve. And just, you know, depict us better. Like I watch freaking 900 episodes of One Piece. Okay.
Like, right.
I am invested in anime. I would it would behoove you to treat us right. That's all I'm saying. On that note, we're going to mosey on. We were going to talk a little bit about Versus, but we're going to actually hold off and do that next week, just because of the thematically it doesn't fit right now, based on what we were talking about. But yeah. Definitely good conversation all around. And I'm hopeful for the content that's going to be coming out. HBO is doing a thing, I believe this weekend, where they're going to be streaming all of the Watchmen for free. If you have the app HBO Max, or I believe if you go to HBO.com, you'll be able to see it, because early on, I started watching the show recently, and the first episode depicts the Tulsa massacre. I know that's not a positive thing, before it goes into the rest of the show, and in a sense, it can be educational. Even though it's a fictional show, it can be educational. So HBO is like, hey, we're kind of on that right now, so we're going to let people watch it for free. So you get to watch all of Watchmen for free, even if you're not trying to be educated. You know, which is obviously, it's to get you, I know what it is, it's to get you to eventually subscribe to HBO Max. I get it. But I still want to throw it out there because it's a good show. Regina King is awesome. And there is the potential to learn a little bit. Since it deals with not only the Tulsa incident, but also the relationship between cops and people, you know, white supremacists and stuff like that. So definitely go check that out if you, you know, get a chance. But beyond that, thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. Feel free to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. We typically record on Thursdays and post on Fridays just to kind of give you a heads up. But if you hit the notification bell, you'll be alerted, or at the very least, it'll be in your feed so you know you know, we you know, we have a show. check out all the content that's going up all over the place. Feel free to follow us on Twitter. All that information is going to be in the description below. Because we want to hear what you think. We want, you know, if you like it, you know, particular subject, you want us to talk about more anime, more gaming, more whatever, or you just think we're doing a good job, let us know. Thumbs up. Share it with your friends. I'm sure if you like it, they'll like it. Unless they're not into anime, and you know, that's unfortunate, but you know, no, I mean, yeah, seriously though, share, because we want to kind of grow. There's some things that we're going to be doing in the future. I don't want to speak or say exactly what we have planning, because I don't want to be held to a timeline, but there are some things that are going to be changing. So, you know, you get to say you were here on the ground floor. You know, you were here when we were small, and when we get huge, we can recognize, like, hey, you were a fan for a long time, as opposed to, you know, us getting on our Drake shit and being like, no new friends, you know? So, definitely subscribe. And, you know, like I said, let us know. And the people who are messaging and being like, you want to be friends? Yeah, that's not going to work with me. That's just weird. Like, I don't even know what you mean. Do you mean you want me to subscribe to you so you can subscribe to me? I don't get what you're saying there. Speak more. Because, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. So, but yeah, definitely share. Go check out the website, unitedfrontgaming.com. Check us out on Twitter, on Instagram, all that good stuff. And like I said, let us know.
Let us know. I'm just going to drop one little thing. Civilization 6 actually dropped an expansion or some sort of update, so I just wanted to drop that in there since I'd been playing. I'm not gonna get the whatever, moving on. And one last thing, I'm just gonna put this out there. I hear online that fans are saying that Dominique Jackson, okay, also known as Storm back from her ballroom days, that's how I knew her, might or the fans want her to play Storm in any of the upcoming X-Men movies, and I am here for it. Okay, that girl better chasse her butt into this joint. Now, if you guys don't know Dominique Jackson, she is on Pose. She plays trans mom of House. Is she House Evangelista? I don't remember what house she is. But Dominique Jackson is fierce. And I watched the first episode of what's it called? I forgot the show's name. It's something like Monumental Stories or something. And with Oz and Defining Moments. I'm sorry, Defining Moments. And she's on the first episode, I believe. Anyway, I'm a Dominique Jackson fan, and the fact that fans are out here saying that she should play the next Storm, like I said, I am here for it. The girl looks amazing in a white wig. Okay, so remember, it is June, it is Pride Month, Black Lives Matter, Black Trans Lives Matter. Everybody, I hope you've enjoyed the show. We were on for a long time today. Okay, do what Kenny said, subscribe, all those wonderful things. Thank you, fans. We love you, and bye-bye.